Amen. All right, so you tell me, what is AI? Somebody raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about when I say AI. Sam, you wait for the microphone and tell us what AI is.
Artificial intelligence.
Okay, artificial intelligence. Now, I'm kind of interested in finding out from you your experiences with AI. Have you used it? And if you have, tell us how you've used it. Give us some of the applications with AI. Raise your hands again if you've got something. Okay, Carol, and then Juanita.
ChatGPT is one of the most popular platforms right now, and you can ask it to write a paragraph for you about how you're going to sell your house or whatever information that you want it to do.
So is it a tremendous tool?
It's very helpful.
Absolutely. Tremendous tool. Juanita?
I use it a lot at work. Some of the applications would be I respond to all the social Google reviews, so I'm able to like copy and paste the person's response and put it in there, so I can get wording. We're creating standard operating procedures, and so that's all I was given was this is what I want from the owner. So I've had to figure out how to do this, so I can type in what I need, and then it will essentially give me what I also need. Also for responding to emails, because sometimes I want to make sure I'm grammatically correct, that I'm being precise but yet kind in response. So I'm able to put what somebody has said and give AI guidance on what I need. Also for creating policies and procedures. I've had to create different policies and procedures, so I'll search the internet for current policies and procedures and then be able to implement that. Also, I do all the social media posting.
You kind of get the idea. She uses this a lot.
Yeah, I use it for everything. But it's also able to give me, I need like a JPEG to go with my post. So I'm able to, it'll give me a web file, which I can't use, and I'll say, can you convert this into a JPEG instead of my searching the internet to find an appropriate picture. It'll also generate a picture if I don't ask it to search the internet. So, I mean, the things I've been able to use it for are countless.
Okay. All right. Rod, there in the back, you'll have to.
You don't have your own mic back there?
It's interesting because my brother works in the medical field, and his wife does as well, and they use AI they ask it questions and they get more detailed information than they would if they ever did research either on the internet or through any of their databases. And my brother said he is amazed how much detail it brings out, even in medicine.
It's almost like you have the minds of thousands of doctors that come together to give you an answer. Tremendous tool. It is a tremendous tool. My point is we could probably go on and on, but let me say this. All of you have used AI in some form or another. I'm not going to ask you to lift your phones because I would rather have you lift your Bibles, but I know that that's what happens. You know, when you ask Siri or Alexa a question, you are using AI. My point is that we are already using it. You are using artificial intelligence. And that's what I want to address here. But my whole point in starting this is this way. I am not against AI. I think it's a tremendous tool. But there's one thing that really does concern me. I mean, many, many, many things about it that concern me. But there's just this one that I'm going to be talking about. So, what I'm doing is I'm getting this from the Frontline. A lot of what I have, a lot of the quotes I have come from the Frontline magazine. This is the latest issue, and it's shown right here. This is the cover of it. In fact, I've got a copy of it right here. AI, developing a Christian perspective, and then it lists some of the main things. Developing a biblical perspective on technology. Using AI to carry out the Great Commission. An AI interview with C.H. Spurgeon. How long has Spurgeon been gone? Over 100 years. How can you have an interview with C.H. Spurgeon? AI. How much can you trust this interview is the question. Who's afraid of AI and so forth? This is a tremendous issue, and one that I have read and have reread in some instances as I was developing this Sunday school lesson. So let's first of all talk about what is AI, and by definition, it is artificial intelligence, and that means it is artificial. This intelligence is artificial. It is not an actual person. It does not have a soul. It is not made in the image of God. It does not have a conscience and cannot exercise discernment. At the same time, it is intelligence. And you're going to find out it's very intelligent. It is intelligence. And that intelligence comes from somewhere. I'm pausing there because I want you to really remember that intelligence comes from somewhere. Consider ChatGPT that Carol was talking about. Describing its own intelligence, it stated. So here's ChatGPT talking. ChatGPT is trained on vast amounts of text data from the internet, including books, websites, and other written content. So if ChatGPT is a composite intelligence from people who have written online, in print, or elsewhere, ChatGPT will reflect who these people are in its responses. More specifically, it reflects only parts of who these people are, for better or for worse. It also reflects the values of its trainers, those who program the parameters for how an AI responds. An AI will show its programmers biases and prejudices as to what they believe an AI should say or not, for better or for worse. And there again, I'm quoting David Hufstetler in his article, Does Homework Have to Be Human in this Frontline Issue? But the point that is being made here is that ChatGPT AI gets its intelligence from what has been written, from articles, from the internet. And of course, you all know that the internet is divinely inspired, right? Well, this last week before I saw this quote, I went to ChatGPT and I asked this question, where does AI get its information? So here's what came up. Just got this, well, this was on the 6th, that was Thursday. So I just got this Thursday. AI, this is what AI told me, ChatGPT. AI gathers its information from a vast variety of sources. These include databases, websites, books, articles, and other textual content available on the internet. AI systems, like me, this is AI talking to me, like me, are trained on huge amounts of data, allowing us to generate responses based on patterns and knowledge we've encountered. Interesting. When I answer questions or provide information, I use a combination of this trained knowledge, and when needed, I can look up current information online to ensure up-to-date accuracy. It's a bit like having a library that constantly expands with new books and articles, exclamation point. It is a tremendous tool. And there's other questions I asked it. I'm going to tell you what that question, I asked it a Bible question. And then I started arguing with it. And I'll tell you what that argument was. But that's not even going to be today. That'll probably be next Sunday. Let's look at the history of AI. And since I subscribe to the Frontline magazine, I am able to go online and get a digital copy. So what I did is I took screenshots of this article. And I'll just read the article as it's up there. Hopefully I can read it on my screen because I didn't put it on my paper. So, who's afraid of AI? This is the article. And I think it's, again, written by, this is by Hansen, a guy by the name of Hansen. So look at understanding artificial intelligence. And let's start right here, the history of AI. Based on the work of Alan Turing, a British logician, the term artificial intelligence was coined in 1956 by computer scientist John McCarthy during a meeting of highly acclaimed researchers at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. Hey, you New Hampshireites, there are some intelligent people who come from there. I'm kidding. Artificial intelligence combines math, computer technology, and science to program a digital computer or robot to perform tasks commonly associated with intelligent beings. In 1961, General Motors utilized the first industrial robots. Just a few years later, in 1966, Joseph Weizenbaum, a psychotherapist, wrote the first AI chatbot program, Eliza, which was programmed to communicate with humans. Eliza was extremely limited, but advances in technology and data eventually resulted in the development of ChatGPT, which is currently the best-known AI chatbot. ChatGPT and similar models interact with people through natural language rather than computer code, making them accessible to most users. Further, these algorithms have improved education, medicine, and business. As AI continued to advance, its historic accomplishments included the creation of the driverless car in 1986 by Mercedes-Benz, the victory of the AI computer Deep Blue over the reigning world chess champion in 1997. I remember that. Maybe you remember that. And the defeat of two Jeopardy champions by IBM's Watson, a natural language processing computer, in 2011. Interesting article, as he gives the history of AI and some of the things I didn't know as far as how it came about. By the way, a disclaimer, just because I'm doing the Sunday school lesson on this does not make me a professional person in AI. I am not a computer guy. Talk to Rod. That's where you can get that kind of stuff. So, as I look at this, and I studied it, I said, man, this is exciting. There are so many, and we talked about some of the applications this morning. And used rightly, many, many benefits. There are many wonderful applications of AI when it is used as a tool, and that's what it is. It is a tool. Mustafa Suleiman, co-founder of Google DeepMind, observes, quote, in 2010, almost no one was talking seriously about AI. That's just 15 years ago. But now, AI is everywhere on the news and in your smartphone, trading stock and building websites. End quote. One example of the benefits of AI technology in daily life is how often people use virtual assistants such as Google, Siri, and Alexa to answer questions, play music, and control home devices. You probably have some of these things in your home already. In healthcare and medicine, there's a decent chance a computer can read an MRI or an X-ray better than a human. It's going to pick up things that humans aren't going to get. In business, AI has proved effective at reducing human error, enhancing efficient decision making, improving workflows, performing hazardous tasks, and displaying full-time availability. I've even read where AI will probably accelerate many times over cures for diseases like cancer, heart disease, and so forth. So the applications are just numerous. So it is exciting. But let's talk about concerns. One of the concerns that many have about AI is that it will begin to replace people. In fact, you know of one recent thing that happened up in New York, right before the election. There was a strike taking place. Does anybody remember the longshoremen strike that was taking place? And what was one of their major concerns? Brandon.
Concern was that devices like AI or automated systems were going to replace people on the job. And I don't want to jump too far ahead because I don't know where you're going with this, but I have some economic insight on this, so come back to me.
Now you've piqued my interest. So okay, but it was about automation. They're afraid that automation is going to take away their jobs. It's already taking jobs away. I mean, when you go into a fast food restaurant and there's that kiosk, you know, you just put your order in right there and everything's done for you. That replaces somebody. And your order is probably going to be more accurate. But unlike the tools that you may have in your garage, like a wrench or a screwdriver, this tool's intelligent. And again, we're talking about artificial intelligence. So it's really more than a tool. Think about it. It's a thinking tool. It thinks. So this tool can actually replace people. Okay, so one of the many concerns that people have about AI, it's going to begin to replace people. Now, I want to take that statement that I've made right there to make this statement. One of my concerns for Christians is that some Christians or many Christians will be tempted to use AI to replace a person. And of course, I have person capitalized. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay, now this is just one application. They did not get into this in the frontline articles. Because as they admit, we're just talking about developing a Christian perspective. There's so much more that's yet to come that things are developing all the time. And so that's not anything to say, well, you guys missed this. No, there's a lot of things yet to be said about AI. And one of the things that actually hit me had to do with this. No thinking Christian who uses AI in place of the Holy Spirit would ever want to admit that he does. You would never admit it. And I don't know that there are people who are doing this, but I suspect that there are. You say, what are you talking about? I'm going to get into this. It is a tool, but the Holy Spirit is a person. And it is possible to allow yourself to be led by this artificial intelligence, AI, rather than by, and I'm just going to call it divine intelligence to make it, you know, so it's something you can remember, the Holy Spirit, DI, divine intelligence. Why? Because our natural inclination as humans is to want to know something, .. now. Isn't that neat? When you want to know something, I can ask a question like, you know, I was, you know, weeks ago. I mean, I'm going, oh, okay, who won this game? Boom, it's right there. I know it. And you guys do this all the time. You know, I'll ask a question. What do you people, you know, phones come out and you're asking your phone the question. And you get that information immediately. The access is amazing. It's, you know, blink of an eye, information. Okay, and that's our natural inclination. I want to know something now. And from artificial intelligence, you can get an immediate answer. From divine intelligence, you're probably going to have to ... out loud. That's right, you're going to have to wait. So when you have these two things competing, and if you've got a problem, you have an issue, and the more AI develops, the more it becomes intelligent, and we're going to talk about there in the future, there's going to be super intelligence that cannot be matched by humans. Come on, what's going to be the tendency of everybody when you face any kind of an issue? What is going to be the tendency? The tendency first is to go to that which you use a lot and find an answer right now. It's a natural inclination. That's why I say it's our natural inclination as humans. Would you agree that the word wait, I'm not talking about W-E-I-G-H-T, but the word W-A-I-T, that the word wait occurs a lot in the Bible? One of the Hebrew words for wait, and I went to my you could do this too. I went to my Strong's Concordance, looked up the word weight, found the Hebrew words for weight. There's at least three. There's probably more words that the Hebrews use for the word weight. And one of them is hawa. Hawa. And it literally means I wait, I look for, I hope. Used around 50 times in the Old Testament. This root means to wait or to look for with eager and expectation. Waiting with steadfast endurance is a great expression of what? Faith. The believer's faith is strengthened through his testings and his character is further developed. This comes from the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament as they studied this word. And what that really hit with on me is waiting with steadfast endurance is an expression of faith. And what is it that it is so hard to live by? Faith. Because we want sight. And with AI, I get the sight. I am able to see things. I don't have to wait. But the problem is, AI, artificial intelligence, relies upon those who feed it the information. And not even those who don't feed it. I mean, it searches out there. It goes out there. It searches books. It searches. It goes way out there. And it finds all this information, and in a split second, it can bring it together and give it to you. And you don't have to wait. My point here is that waiting and faith go hand in hand. Because if you're going to wait on the Lord, that means you have to trust Him. You have to put your faith in Him. But you can get around that. Just use artificial intelligence. Do you see where my concern lies with relying more upon AI than a person? That at least that possibility is out there, that people will do that, and I would argue that they already are. I found these verses where the word wait is around 50 times, but I want us to, let's do this exercise, and I want you to volunteer to read these verses up there. And so you can see them up. I'm just going to go through the Psalms, and then we're going to go into Isaiah, and then I'm going to go to a verse in Lamentations, where this word wait, kawa, is used, and how often the psalmist had to wait on the Lord. Oh, if David had only had AI, perhaps he wouldn't have had to have waited. So I'm going to mention the verse, and then I want somebody to volunteer to read Psalm 25 and then verses 3, 5, and 21. And if you forget, the verses are up there. So who would like to read those three verses out of Psalm 25? Brad? And then I need you to really speak up as you read these. Psalm 27, 14, somebody quickly. Juanita? Psalm 37, 9 and 34. Brandon? Psalm 40, verse 1. Okay, why am I having to wait? Psalm 69, 6, Brandy. Psalm 130, verse 5, Brother Paul. Okay, now listen to these verses. If you're looking up a verse right now, get to it so you can actually listen to these other verses and listen to the word wait in these verses. So, Brother Brad, Psalm 25, 3, 5, and 21. Yeah, you notice the words wait there. I wait on you, Lord. I wait upon you. Again, I wait for has to do with looking for. I am hoping, Lord, as I wait on you, that's what I'm doing. Psalm 27, 14.
Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Wow, twice. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 37, 9 and 34.
For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth.
Wait on the Lord. Psalm 40 and verse 1.
I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry.
Isn't it interesting on that verse, I waited for the Lord
patiently.
Isn't it interesting? You know, does God know right now what you're asking, what you're going to ask for? And in the case like the servant this morning, he had prayed and God was answering his prayer even while he's praying it. And yet there's still that time of waiting that's involved. Psalm 69, verse 6. Amen. And you'll notice what she said there, let them not be ashamed. Same thing Brad read, that I will not be ashamed when I wait on you, Lord. Psalm 130, verse 5.
I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope.
I love that. I wait on the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Now you've got verses in Isaiah. Let's just all turn to these in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. You're going to recognize this one. And they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's those who wait on the Lord. 49 verse 23. Kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down in thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. One last one, Lamentations 3, verse 25. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then Lamentations, verse 25 of chapter 3, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Okay, I know I spent some time on this, but this is what we do as Christians all the time, because this is the way God operates. He wants us to wait for him. With this in mind, I want to have a discussion right now on this. So if you have answers for this, I want you to speak into the microphone. And since we're talking about replacing a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, I ask this question. How would you describe the work of the Holy Spirit in this world and in the believer's life? Now, I want biblical backup to this, to your answers. Now, you may not know where those answers are, but I want to make sure that these are biblical answers. And I've got my answers that I've listed. And I'll just tell you something. I'll give you a clue. You can find all of my answers in John 14, 15, and 16. You'll find the same answers, obviously. There are other times in the Bible where it mentions the work of the Holy Spirit. How would you describe his work in this world and in a believer's life? If you've got an answer for that, raise your hand, and we'll get the microphone to you. Juanita's got one. Who's going to be next after Juanita? We'll have to wait and see. Okay.
John 16:8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Yes, that's one of the ones I have. One of his works is that of reprover. Is that in the believer's life or really the unbeliever's life? Well, it says he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So he is a reprover. Another one Carol has.
John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you.
There you go. What's that work? Comforter. Janet has one. So you got reprover, comforter. Keep looking for them in John 15, 14, 15, and 16. Janet.
I think it's the same as far as comforter in 15, verse 26. When the comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and he also shall bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning.
Okay, and I'm going to add one to that from that verse, because you said he will testify of me. So he is comforter, but he's also testifier. And of whom does he testify? The Son, Jesus Christ. He testifies of Jesus Christ. He does not testify of himself, but of Jesus Christ, somebody else. Okay, so I'm going to list mine up there. Some of these are there. Carol's Comforter, you'll find that in John 14, verses 16 to 18, again in 16:7. Teacher, in 14:26, he shall teach you all things. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Now, that word truth, I think we'll have time to get onto that. The difference between facts and truth. He's a reminder. He shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I'm kind of curious. Has anybody ever experienced that reminding? I have, because I'll be with somebody and I'm praying, Lord, and the verse will come to mind. Even as I'm praying, and he will remind me, this is the verse. Which brings up another question that I'm going to bring up later, but this is a good time to present it and then depart from it real quick. Does the Holy Spirit bring things to mind that you've never studied? More than likely not. He can. But folks, as you study God's Word, as you memorize God's Word, the Holy Spirit brings those things to mind. So what do you need to be doing every day? You need to be in the Word. He's the testifier, the verse that Janet was talking about. He's the reprover, the one that Juanita talked about. He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He's the prophesier. He will show you things to come. Let me ask a question here. Can AI tell you what's going to happen? Okay, let me ask you another question. Can a demon tell you what's going to happen? No. Demons don't know. Now, they can go to the Word of God. They can read prophecy. The devil knows the Word of God better than most Christians. I mean, obviously. And based upon the Word, he knows that his time is short, doesn't he? At one point during the tribulation. So they can, but AI does not know the future. Now, AI can, based upon things that have happened in the past, and they can bring all these things together, and they can look at the tendencies and the direction things are going, and just like you can, and they can say, here's what we think is going to happen. But the Holy Spirit says he will show you things to come. A definite matter that he will show you. He's a prophesier. He's a glorifier. He shall glorify me, Jesus said. So I said I was going to get to this. Does the Holy Spirit do your thinking for you? Don't you love these questions? Because you're like, oh, I got the last one wrong. Paul, did you raise your hand?
It took me a while to get to my verse.
Oh. so we're departing back to something? Okay.
So, you know, we're believers in this dispensation of grace. So we're under the laws of Christ. And Scofield does a good job of linking some of these concepts. James 1, verse 25 tells us we have the perfect law of liberty. And if you link that back to 2 Corinthians 17, I'll read 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit is, there is liberty. So I'm going to make a prediction about AI, but I'm an engineering product of the Cold War, so we are not really that aroused by all this. We've been seeing it my entire career, and I could talk for hours and give all kinds of examples. It's extremely dangerous, in my opinion. And I think it's better to start reading, you know, more. And I know we you're right. We all use Google and in our work world, but we should try to resist it because it's extremely dangerous. AI is. We've been seeing it build the whole time. But verse 16 says, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." So this characteristic of the veil applies to the the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And as a believer, we would never want to walk the Christian life without this influence. So it's, and
right, I'm going to interrupt you here, yeah, and say that the Holy Spirit is a revealer.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right, because that verse in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. I would say that yes, AI can be a dangerous tool, but I don't think we should jettison it. I think we should use it. And that the article that was given, I mean, this is just in response to something you said. One of the articles that is in here is how a missionary is using it in a really unique way on the mission field. That's Reddick. What's Reddick's name? It's not Mike, it's his wife. And it's not just because she uses it. I remember when computers first came out, there were Christians saying, don't use the computer, it's demonic. No, we need to take what God has allowed. And there's articles, by the way, I would really encourage you to get this issue, because there are articles about how traditionally when technology comes in, there's that first resistance to it. I mean, you go back to tools years ago. Well, not going to do that. No, let's take what we've been given and let's use it for God's glory. Can Satan always take something good and use it for the bad? Always. Always. Does the Holy Spirit do your thinking for you? No. No. And I want to camp on that for just a minute. I had a friend once. This guy I was trying to disciple, very, very smart. Very smart. Involved in politics. And as I would meet with him on a weekly basis trying to help disciple him, he once expressed to me, because he's always doing stupid things, you know, he was, when it came to biblical principles. And he just one day in frustration said, I just wish the Holy Spirit would just come up and just whack me on the side of the head. I knew what he was saying, but I said his name, that's not what he does. The Holy Spirit is not the one responsible to keep you from doing something. He tells you. You're the one who makes the decision. That's the point I'm getting to here. Because the Holy Spirit, if he would do your thinking for you, would then make the decision for you as well. There's something called man's free will. Man's responsibility, that you are responsible for what you do. You are responsible for the decisions that you make. So if the Holy Spirit does not do your thinking for you, then what part does he have in the thinking of the believer, the one in whom he dwells? And that's why I bring up that question again. Is the Holy Spirit going to show you things that you have not studied? In other words, is he going to do your thinking for you? Or does the Holy Spirit show you things from what you have studied, perhaps? Yes. And that's when, and I hope to get into this more in more depth in the weeks to come, but it's from what you have studied, meditated on, prayed about, that the Holy Spirit is what we call leads you. And that leading is not where he picks you up and, you know, your feet are dangling while he's leading you down a trail. No, this is the message this morning, that you are walking on the right road. You are doing the right thing. You can say that what I am doing is biblically correct. The girl I am about to marry is, I believe this is God's will, because it's not against scripture, or the guy I'm going to marry, and so forth and so on. Where he leads you, and it's typically through scripture, where I've got that affirmation of what I am doing. I'm saying all this to say this. AI agents are already operating in 2025. In 2025, they will even be more widely used. And it's that word right there that I'm interested in. agents. And as I studied this, okay, here's where AI was doing something. Because you know when you look up something on your computer, who's watching? AI is. And they know what you looked up. So now what happens, folks? Now all kinds of articles are coming up. And now I don't have time to go to these articles. But there was one, it was an interview with some Indians, you know, how do you call them? Yeah, Gandhi Indians, yeah. And these people are the brains when it comes to computers. And this guy is giving some information. He's the one who said AI agents are already operating in 2025. In fact, they're becoming more and more. So what is an AI agent? An AI agent is not the same as Siri and Alexa. Those are AI assistants. An AI agent not only answers your questions, it also makes decisions for you. That's what's coming. Learns from your experiences and your behavior online and then adapts to do all of the tasks. It's basically AI on automation. So you can think of it as a sophisticated, and I'm quoting this guy, you can think of it as a sophisticated problem solver that can work autonomously with minimal guidance or intervention. So basically, I would not have to instruct it to do anything. It will just automatically do the tasks for me. At their core, AI agents function through three primary steps: perception, reasoning, and action. Perception. The AI agents collect all of the data from the environment using sensors, inputs like cameras, microphones, digital signals. Any data that's online can also be used by these AI agents. Reasoning, the AI agent will then process this data that is collected, relying on the algorithms, the rules, and everything that the coder has fed into the machines. Then the action, the agent will execute these decisions based on the analysis of that data. Now, he does not give applications here, like, okay, here's what I mean. But you can see where this can be going, where AI agents are making the decisions for you. Should I go to this doctor or not? And if you can ask AI about going to this particular doctor, could you not ask AI? And this is what I think people are going to do. Should I marry him or not? Should I marry her or not? Whose role has just been usurped as a Christian? Out loud? Holy Spirit. That's why a tool like this, that is a wonderful tool, can almost become a god. He ends this with, the feedback will allow the agents to continuously adapt and keep learning from the environment, from how humans interact with it. So as they continue to adapt, here's what I see happening. Should I marry her or not? And then you get your answer. Yes, do it. Later on, whoops. I've just adapted. I've just learned something. I told you, I don't think they're going to say I told you wrongly, AI, the agent. But there you go. Does the Holy Spirit ever say, whoops, what I told you? Ooh, sorry about that. I'm just trying today to awaken you to a plausible scenario of what could start happening. And I've got to stop right there. We're going to, next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to get into facts and truth. Are facts truth? Are truth facts? Are they the same thing? Because AI deals in facts. Does it deal in truth? And so forth. Brandon, you had something to close with?
Yeah, just the question that's up there kind of called to mind the different passages in the New Testament where it says that, you know, like Stephen or Paul were filled with the Holy Spirit and then did an action or then said something that was extremely significant. So my question is not necessarily that I think that in those moments, the Spirit was actually doing the thinking for them. But is that one of those words where it's like they're continually being filled, or they continually are filled with the Spirit, and then they're saying something? Or is it a special distribution of the Spirit's wisdom for that particular instance, and being filled with the Spirit at that moment? Stephen gives his sermon before his accusers and so forth. What does that mean?
My mind thinks back to what Jesus said: when you're hauled before people, do not think about what you're going to say, for in that hour I will tell you what to say. Have you ever belabored over that point sometimes? Because sometimes we are hesitant to witness to somebody because I don't know what to say. But you wait. And the Lord brings to mind, and this is the way I put it, the Lord brings to mind certain things, and then I can now say that. And I don't know if that answers your question, because it maybe brings up more questions. But when Stephen is preaching, you'll see that he gives a long history of Israel. Let me ask you, did the Holy Spirit tell him that history at that moment, or had Stephen studied the history of Israel before? He had studied it, and as he is beginning to speak, I mean, he's doing this extemporaneously or impromptu. I believe the Holy Spirit brings things to his mind. He's the reminderer of the things. And I think that, this is I think, but I believe that at that moment, the Holy Spirit gives him words to say that you'd think back and go, where did that come from? And it was really being led of the Spirit. And as you analyze it, if you do analyze it, you find out, well, he brought that from something I had experienced way back. It's something that I had read in my Bible, where I had put two and two together. It's what Paul does in Acts chapter 9, I think it's verse 22, when he begins to proving that this is the very Christ. Then the word proving is where Paul is literally taking facts from the Bible and putting two and two together for these priests he is talking to. And it's from what he has studied under Gamaliel. He knows the Old Testament. And the Holy Spirit uses that for him to prove that this is the very Christ. But it's all from Scripture. So, does the Holy Spirit do your thinking for you? Again, I don't believe he does. It's almost as if he does. You almost think he does. How many of you have taken a major, major college test or a high school test or whatever, didn't study for it, but sat down to take the test and said, oh Lord, please help me to do well in this test? Will he answer that prayer? Maybe if something came up where you couldn't study, a family emergency or whatever, but he's still going to take what you've studied and bring it to mind. I cannot walk into Paul's business, which is engineering or Brad's, and say, you know, I've never studied engineering before, but let me just tell you something. I know the Holy Spirit's going to show me what to say and how to do this job. Would you hire me, Paul?
I've not made the best decision.
You'd be crazy to hire me. I have nothing on my resume. I know nothing about this. But that's the way we sometimes treat the Holy Spirit. You know, well, he's just going to take everything I don't know, and all of a sudden I'm going to become the president of the United States because, you know what, I'm a Christian. No. I am responsible for what God has given me. And he's the one who says, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You study. You be diligent.